Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate you listening. We are going to talk more Shocker baseball today. We're celebrating the 1982 Shocker baseball team, first team to go to the College World Series, ended up runner-up in that tournament. And we have Dave Lucas, who was an important part of that team. Dave played shortstop for the Shockers in 1982 and 1983. He hit .327, 15 doubles in 1982 for that College World Series team. 1983, he hit .286, was a first-team All-Missouri Valley Conference player, and helped the Shockers get back to NCAA regional play. Dave is from Fullerton, California, transferred to Wichita State from Santa Ana Junior College for that 1982 season. Had some big moments in the College World Series. He hit a two-run single off Texas pitcher Calvin Schiraldi, part of a six-run third inning in an elimination game. The Shockers went on to win that game 8-4, knocked the Longhorns out, and that sent the Shockers into the championship round against Miami. Lucas went 2-for-5 in that game, drove in three runs. So, Dave, let's start there because I think Texas and Calvin Schiraldi is kind of an essential part of the lore of that team. Had a rough outing against Texas early in the season and then came back and eliminated the Longhorns in Omaha. What do you remember about facing Texas, facing that pitching staff to start the season, and then seeing the Longhorns again in Omaha?
Well, Texas, you know, they kind of had the three-headed monster on their pitching staff, if I recall. They had Roger Clemens, Calvin Schiraldi, and another pitcher named Mike Capel. Those three guys were kind of like our top three guys. They were very tough. Anytime they're on the mound, Texas, I know, expected to win. Of course, that year we started off the year pretty slow, and it was a rough go the first 10 games. We went out west and went to Texas, and you know, it wasn't a very good start. But playing out of Texas was very tough with their pitching staff.
And then was that helpful? You had seen them before, then you saw them in Omaha. Did that help at all, or had there been a lot of time that passed? Was it not much of a factor?
You know, it was so early in the season when we played them, and we went down to Austin and played, and we came out of course, Wichita and out of the cold, and didn't really have a chance to practice much outside. Went from an indoor facility and then went there, and, you know, we got kind of whooped, and it was kind of an eye-opening deal the first 10 games that year. So, and then facing them later on, which was basically maybe 80 games later. We knew at that time we could, you know, definitely play with anybody in the country.
So you grew up in California, grew up pretty close to the Cal State Fullerton campus, if I'm understanding that correctly. Describe the recruiting process. What was that like back in the 80s and how you chose to attend Wichita State?
Well, Cal State Fullerton had a very good shortstop at that time, if I remember. So they really weren't even in the market of looking for a shortstop. And because of my size, I wasn't the biggest guy ever on any team, you know, going back from Little League to Wichita State. And, so I went the junior college route initially. And in Southern California, there's some very good junior colleges. It's kind of the hotbed of athletics and sports. And decided to go that route to junior college instead of going and maybe sitting on a bench at a four-year school initially. So that's kind of where that was. And I know Augie Garrido, which was the coach at the time, we had talked later in the season and, you know, come to find out we ended up going head to head in the World Series later that year. So it was kind of ironic.
Yeah, the Shockers defeated Fullerton. I believe that was the College World Series opener for Wichita State. Let me make sure I've got that correct here. I know they defeated them.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7-0 in the first College World Series game of the 1982 College World Series. Tell us about choosing baseball as your sport. When did you develop the love, and when did that become clear to you that that was going to be your path?
Oh, you know, at an early age, you know, when you're 7, 8, 9 years old, starting out playing, you know, at the time playing, you know, baseball, football, basketball, and, you know, because of my size, like I said, going to Wichita State, I was probably, you know, 5'6", maybe 155 pounds, soaking wet. And, you know, I just knew that, you know, I wasn't going to be, maybe a point guard on some basketball team in high school. And, you know, football wasn't it. You know, I just knew I had very, very good early success when I was in high school and did very well and started at a young age. And, you know, made all league as a sophomore and all Orange County. And yeah, I just knew that baseball was where I needed to focus my attention on.
We all know the stories about the early days of Shocker baseball after Gene Stephenson revived the program in 1978. And this is all just a central part of the, you know, the birth of Shocker baseball, the players dressing in the cars, wasn't much seating at the ballpark. There was constant, you know, agitating, when are we going to get a stadium built? The AD would talk about building a stadium, practicing off campus at grade schools and the YMCA. What are your memories about playing for the Shockers in those days?
Well, being from Southern California, of course, it was a big change. But, you know, we had an AstroTurf infield. I was an infielder. I thought mentally in my mind, I'm like thinking, man, I am never going to make an error. Yeah, you know, no bad hops. It was, I don't know. I mean, there was challenges, you know, but you know, when you looked at our ball team and some of the talent and the guys that were around, and you know, we just had a very good nucleus of players, and we knew the great talent was there. When you looked at guys from position by position, you know, on paper, we thought, man, how are we going to lose? And yeah, the early days were rough, and you look at the complex and the facilities now, it's pretty amazing what's happened over. And it's hard to believe it's been 40 years, but over 40 years, it's awesome.
So you come to Wichita State. It's a new baseball program started in 1978 by Gene Stephenson. It's in a part of the country where outside of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, college baseball isn't really that prominent. How did the coaching staff go about convincing that team that you could do big things, that you could get to Omaha, that you could compete with the Arizona States, with the Fullertons and so forth?
Well, like I said, starting out that year, we started out 4-6 or something like that, our first 10 games. We really didn't know. You know, like I said, when you looked at our team, you know, position by position, you went to first, to second, to short, and the outfield. And, you know, we kind of had a three-headed monster ourselves on our pitching staff with you know, Brian and Donnie and Eric Somberg. And, you know, we ran those guys out on the mound. Sometimes you thought, you know, we'll never lose a game, you know, and with our hitting and our power and the home run hitters and stolen bases. And, you know, we just knew we had the nucleus of a team that can go far. We didn't know how far, of course, but, you know, I think Jane and Brent and, you know, the coaching staff just believed, and we just kept grinding and working and trying to get better every game.
So Gene Stephenson would have not been tremendously older than a lot of the guys on his team. I think he would have been in his early 30s at that point. What was he like in those days? What was it like playing for Gene?
I have nothing but good memories myself. It was, like I said, it was awesome. You know, I was, like I said, from Southern California, came out here. I liked the opportunity of getting away from that area of the country. You know, we went down, you know, I was playing for the Gold Panthers the previous summer in Fairbanks, came down to the NBC tournament in Wichita, and you know, it just felt right, you know, and they were looking for a shortstop, I think. JT had played short the previous year. Really, he was a second baseman, wanting to get back to second base. So it just kind of all worked out and fell into place. And, you know, hindsight, looking at stuff, I was probably the luckiest guy ever, you know, falling into what I fell into and the way that team turned out.
Yeah, you mentioned the Gold Panthers, and that seems to be a critical part of this story. Yeah. You were on that team with some other Shockers. I believe Phil Stevenson, Jim Thomas, you mentioned. I think Don Heinkel was on that team.
Yes.
And the version that I was relayed to me was that they kept telling Gene, the coaches, you need to take a look at this guy. You came down to play in the NBC World Series in Wichita, and that kind of wrapped it up. They got a chance to see you in person and decided you were just the perfect fit for what that team needed. How did it play out from your perspective?
Well, you know, initially when I went up to Fairbanks that summer, I was actually going to go to USC in Southern California, is where, you know, mentally I thought I was going. And so I'm up in Fairbanks, Alaska, playing with the ball team and the guys from Wichita. And I don't know if I got a call, a letter or something, but supposedly what they told me, one of my classes, I didn't have enough credits to get into USC, allegedly. So here I am up in playing in the Alaska League that summer, and here we have these three guys from Wichita State, and Jimmy Thomas, of course, kind of wanted to get back to second base. And so here I am up there with, I don't want to say a place without a home, but that's kind of what happened. And there, I think the story goes, they were calling Gene and saying, hey, we got this guy that's, you know, he's not very big. You know, he has no power. He can't run. He can't hit. He's, you know, just all these negatives about me, but God, the guy can just play, you know, type of thing. And so we finally got back to Wichita in that NBC tournament, and we got to meet, and he watched me play, and it worked out. And it, like I said, that's why I think I was the luckiest guy ever that be on the team with those three guys and fell into the NBC tournament and got to see the facilities and the campus, even though it was fairly new. You know, you said going back to 78, called my folks and said, hey, I'm going to school in Wichita State. And so after the tournament, I flew home and grabbed a car, got my stuff and came back east. And it just, like I said, I think I was blessed and fortunate, and it just kind of a match made in heaven, so to speak.
Had you ever been to Wichita before the NBC World Series?
Paul, between you and I don't even know if I've ever heard of Wichita before that.
that would not be unusual.
Yeah, no, I just remember, I think, you know, going back years ago to tell my folks I was going to Wichita State. And I think the comment from one of them was, you know, kind of, where's that? You know, that type of thing. And because I did all of a sudden have some other opportunities, you know, more on the West Coast. And I don't know, like I said, when I came out to Wichita, it just felt right. And the guys I played with that summer, and like I said, it just kind of worked out, I think.
When I started looking through the rosters of the Gold Panthers in that day, and anybody who's familiar with the NBC knows the kind of talent those Alaska teams had, boy, the teammates you had just made several major leaguers on that team. What was it like playing baseball in Alaska in the summer those years?
Well, like you said, I was home that one day. I just recall I got a phone call from Ben Hines, which was the coach in Fairbanks at the time. And he was a coach at Arizona State at the time also. And I just remember getting a call one day saying, hey, Dave, Coach Hines, we need a shortstop. Can you come up? I need to fly up tomorrow. And, you know, so 24 hours later, I was on a plane headed to Fairbanks. And, you know, looking at the 81 team, I played up there in 82. Those 2 years, and looking at the roster, there's big leaguers on both teams. And like I said, one of those things, I was just fortunate and blessed and in the right place at the right time, and was able to stay, you know, competitive enough and strong enough. And I don't want to say kind of wanted, but at least kind of needed, it seemed like at the time. And just happy to be where I was at the time.
So you're joining a program that had a lot of success. They'd gone to the NCAA tournament in 80 and 81. What was it like joining that group? They had lost several of their outfielders and a couple of their top pitchers from the 81 team, but the infield was, a lot of infielders were back. What was it like kind of fitting in and stepping into an important role right away with that group?
Well, you know, like I said, I was kind of told that, you know, I would kind of slide into that spot as long as I could do my job and, you know, get to the shortstop position. You know, JT or Jim Thomas would move back to second, and Jim Spring, I think the year before was at second, I think he was going to, you know, probably bounce back to third base. And it just kind of, we kind of did some shuffling in there. And of course, Phil was at first, and, you know, really three of the four guys were back, and I'm the one that just kind of plugged in, and you know, two of the other guys just kind of moved around the infield. And you know, when you think about that team with Charlie behind the plate, Charlie O'Brien and JT at second, me at short, and then let's say Lauren Hibbs at center, you know, you always think about a ball team, you know, you're up the middle of the core being pretty solid. And I think that team, we pretty had a pretty solid middle of the field type team.
Definitely. That team is also well known for just some outrageous offensive numbers. You had big names such as Russ Moorman, Charlie O'Brien, you mentioned, Phil Stevenson, you know, one of the greatest offensive seasons in college baseball history, Lauren Hibbs scoring all kinds of runs, Jim Thomas. Yeah. What was it like hitting in that lineup? Was it just, I think they just put constant pressure on the opposing pitcher?
Up and down that lineup, Paul, it was, you know, like you said, I had somebody tell me one time, they looked up our stats from 1982, and it was almost like Nintendo type numbers. It was almost unreal. And, you know, you got three guys hitting over 20 home runs and three of them over 100 RBIs, and, you know, our stolen bases and as a team, and maybe our team defense and our pitching staff, the stats. And it was really a team that was, I won't say unreal, but it was probably the funnest. Well, of course, the funnest time ever as a student athlete to play. You know, and I pretty much hit ninth the whole season just because of the way our lineup was. But for me to hit ninth, I had over 60 RBIs, and it was because the guys, you know, our 6, 7, 8 hole hitters getting on base. And I was one of those players that, you know, good things happen when you put the ball in play. And I was fortunate enough to put the ball in play quite a bit. So
I'm not sure unreal is a totally bad description.
Yeah.
So you arrive in August and you had played with some Shockers in the summer, so that probably helped the adjustment. Was there anybody on the team that really took a lead role in showing you this is how we do things, this is how you navigate this new world of Wichita State baseball?
Oh, I think so. And I think just the way I am as a person, I try to be fairly easy to get along with. I'm not, you know, a rah-rah guy. I just try to quietly go out and do my job and try to play the game the right way. And like I said, on defense, try to make the routine play, and on offense, try to put the ball in play. And, you know, as far as anybody taking me under their wing, I don't really recall. You know, my first semester, I lived in the dorms. You know, I kind of, after the first semester, moved out of the dorms and moved in with Charlie O'Brien and Eric Sonberg in an apartment, you know, basically the second part of that school year. So I guess, you know, probably between Charlie and Eric, and, you know, it kind of took me under their wing. And, you know, the three of us lived together that basically during the ball season.
You mentioned Jim Thomas moving from shortstop to second base, and JT had a great career as a Shocker, later one of the assistant coaches. How do you go about developing that, the chemistry between the shortstop and the second baseman that is so important?
Well, we covered a lot of ground between me and him, and it was communication. And like I said, we played, you know, the previous summer together in Fairbanks, and, you know, so we weren't totally unknown to each other, and that helped. And I think he was very thankful or appreciative that I was coming on board there at Wichita State, and allowed him to get back to his more comfortable position, I think, or from what he says. And you know, we just clicked. We just practiced a lot and turning double plays and getting used to each other, and, you know, being repetitious and getting redundant. And, you know, I don't want to say practice makes perfect, but we did take our, you know, our double plays seriously and stuff like that.
So that 1982 team started out with a challenging series at Arizona State, later went to Texas, started 4-6, as you mentioned, and then was just gangbusters from there on out, went 69-8 to finish up the season at 73-14, and obviously in the College World Series. Why was it the kind of team that could rebound from that difficult start and play so well?
Oh, you know, we kind of took our knocks that first 10 games, and we just came back and just started taking one game at a time and put the first 10 games behind us. And, you know, when you think about 69-8, you almost think that's not even maybe possible. And, you know, I've got two boys myself, and, you know, they kind of wonder the same thing. And, you know, people start asking, you know, what kind of schedule did you play? And, you know, who were you playing to get to that point? And, you know, one thing about Gene, he wasn't afraid to play anybody and, you know, travel. And we went from, you know, West Coast to East Coast and played. And so it's just, you know, that start, we just had to put the first 10 games behind us.
When you watch the College World Series now and what it's become with a lot of television coverage and just a pretty big event during the summer, what was it like in 1982 going to Omaha to play?
You know, surreal that we made it. You know, we went to New Orleans and had to play in a regional first, and, you know, swept that regional, I don't want to say fairly easily, but we won three in a row there. And I think we only gave up one run and got to Rosenblatt in Omaha. And, you know, we're one of eight teams. And, you know, I don't know if we were ranked number one in the country at the time, but pretty highly ranked team. And I mean, we went there expecting, you know, we were kind of expecting to win. You know, our team was, you know, we were going there to win the thing, and unfortunately lost in the championship game. And but it was awesome, Paul. It was, like I said, glad to be on that team.
When you look at what the College World Series has become and what Wichita State baseball has become, is it a good feeling to say I was kind of there at the beginning? I helped build the foundation for some of these advancements in college baseball.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I live in Southeast Kansas now, and anybody that hears that, you know, somebody has played for Wichita State basically back in the 80s and 90s, you know, just, you know, a great program. How'd you play there? Were you that good? You know, did you ever get a chance to play? You know, the reputation, you know, what that Gene had and built up from the 70, you know, like I said, from 78 and on, you know, it, and what's happened recently, hard to tell. You know, maybe it's hard to describe how good of a recruiter Gene was and the type of program he built and facilities. And yeah, you know, I look at the place now, Paul, and how would a student athlete not want to go to Wichita State when you look at the complex and what's there, facility wise, indoor and outdoor? It's unbelievable.
Definitely, they've done a lot of work, and I guess obviously it all started with Gene. Let me go back and for people that maybe are not familiar with the 82 team, some of the things you mentioned or we hit upon. You talked about the regional and just an incredible pitching performance. The Shockers defeated Jackson State, and then the host team, New Orleans, twice, gave up one run in those three games to advance to Omaha for the first time, where they defeated Cal State Fullerton, lost to Miami, then bounced back and beat Oklahoma State, beat Texas before losing to Miami of Florida in the championship game. I'll wrap up by testing your memory, games or moments. What stands out from that season? Is there anything that you really look back on and as a fond memory from that time?
Well, think about what you just said. You know, we beat Fullerton, we beat Oklahoma State, and we beat Texas in the World Series. Obviously, Miami must have had our number. We lost to them twice, you know, unfortunately. But I don't know. Like I said, just very fortunate and blessed to be you know, a kid from Southern California that had options and chose the right program. And you know, the coaches, I think, believed in me and some of the players. And you know, even had a chance. I got drafted by the Expos after the 83 season and played a little bit of minor league ball. And yeah, just very, very blessed and very fortunate to be where I was at that time.
So you said you're still you're in Southeast Kansas now. Give us the update. What are you doing?
I'm in the grain agricultural business. I'm a seed salesman for a company that I work for, and been doing that for quite a while. Been in sales for 30 years, but since 2009, been working for this company and love what I do. You know, where we're at down here, there's a lot of farm ground and agriculture and, you know, pasture and cows. And, you know, it's kind of weird, a kid from Southern California doing what I'm doing now, but I love it and like it and wouldn't trade it for the world.
All right. Very good. Dave Lucas, shortstop for the 1982 Shockers College World Series team. He is one of many people from that team that will be back for the first pitch banquet. That's coming up January 29th in the Aetna Multipurpose Facility in Koch Arena. Dave, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.